We're going to turn to the word of the Lord here this morning, book of Psalm chapter 29, and then the book of Psalm chapter 7, chapter 29 and verse 2, and I'll give you an opportunity to get there this morning. Praise God. There's something about worship and there's something about praise that I hope that we can get in our hearts here this morning and look at it a little bit deeper in the Word of God. Psalm chapter 29 and verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Amen. Do we serve a great God with a great name this morning? His name is Jesus. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise God. So there is praise, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So there is worship. Psalm chapter 7 and verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So we have worship. Everybody said worship. And we have praise. Everybody said praise. Praise. Amen. I want to try to differentiate those two and help us this morning with worship and with praise. Because if we don't have worship and praise, we don't have the presence of God. If we don't have worship and praise, we're not really apostolic. Well, praise the Lord. We're really not Pentecostal if we don't have worship and praise. That's who we are. That's how we worship the Lord and give Him thanks and praise always, always for everything that He's done for us. Amen. Let's pray together and ask for God's help this morning. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for truth this morning. Thank You for the anointing that we know is here this morning. I'm asking You today, anoint the Word of God. Give us ears to hear the Word and bless the people with Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. It is good to be back in, good to be back home again this morning and got an opportunity to spend some time with my grandson. And I've got some pictures if you want to see them after church. Somebody smile just a little bit, all right? Praise God. There's nothing like your grandchildren. Amen. Praise and worship. There is something about praise and worship that is so very, very important and vital for us as apostolic Pentecostal folks. My pastor, who traveled around the country in many, many places in the country and actually traveled around the world, traveled in several countries of the world, I asked him one time, what is the thing that is lacking most in apostolic churches? And I was surprised at what he said, but he said to me that it was that if we don't have worship, we're not Pentecostal. Amen. He said the thing that is lacking most in our churches is worship. Amen. And, of course, I understood what he meant by worship, but I want to talk about worship and I want to talk about praise this morning because those two are not synonymous things. Amen. Worship, the word worship here in the Old Testament comes from a word that means to depress or prostrate, amen. What it actually means is to get down on your knees is what it's talking about. Worship is something that we do when we humble ourselves before God. And we give God praise in the good times and in the bad times. Praise God. The word praise comes from the word that means to extend the hands or to throw a stone. It is worship. It is praise unto God. And not worship, but praise. Praise is the extending of the hands and physically getting involved in worshiping the Lord. Both of these go together, and I believe today that one of them is in front of the other. Amen. And you cannot have one without the other, but I want to talk about worship just a little bit. Worship is spoken here by David in the scripture that we read this morning, and it's actually a repeat of a story. And if you'll go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, I want to look at the story for just a moment here. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 3. Now, here was a situation where the Ark of God was not back in Jerusalem. David had a desire in his heart. Oh, God, help us to have a desire in our heart this morning. We've got to have the Ark of the Covenant in our midst. We've got to have the presence of God in our midst. And in verse 3, it says, David speaking here, "Let us bring again the Ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." And the congregation said they would do so. Amen. Is the congregation with the pastor here this morning? Are we in agreement today that we need the presence of God in our midst? Amen. And it's not just a casual desire. It is an absolute necessity that we have the presence of God in our midst. We cannot be Pentecostal by programs. We must be Pentecostal by praise and by worship. And they said, we're going to do that. And David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the Ark of God from that city right there. Praise the Lord. And David went up, and all Israel, and Bala, that is, to Kirjatharim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the Ark of the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Praise God. That's God. That's the presence of God. And something happened here. It says, and they carried the Ark of God in a new cart, which of course was not according to the commandments of the Lord. It was to be carried by the shoulder of the priest. It was not supposed to be on a cart, an old cart or a new cart. Out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. What we've got to understand is that worship must precede praise. And if worship does not precede praise, then it's not really praise at all. Amen. It is not going to bypass the thing that we really need to do, and that is to worship. David got a understanding here of the will of God, and he understood that some things needed to be restored. I'm going to talk about restoration here tonight in the service, but some things needed to be restored, and some things that had been torn down. The fellow there, Abihu, who was that there? Abinadab had the Ark of God in his house for a season of time, and it became commonplace. It became ordinary. It was more or less a piece of furniture that was in the house, kind of like what some folks do with their Bible. It's more of a showpiece than it is something that we read and study and pray over and quote amen, and meditate on. The ark of God, the presence of God, became commonplace. And I fear because from the very beginning of the inception of this church, amen, we have had a move of God. We've had a move of God. Well, praise the Lord. And there's still a move of God here this morning. Amen. We've seen healings in this church. We've seen people receive the Holy Ghost in this church. Amen. We have seen miracles take place in the house of God. And I fear that we don't ever get to the place, excuse me, where the presence of God and the anointed preaching of the Word of God becomes commonplace and ordinary to us. Because when it becomes commonplace and ordinary, then it becomes something that we can put our hands upon casually. But I'm telling you here this morning, we cannot put our hands upon the work of God casually. Amen. We can't do our best to try to stabilize it. Amen. We need to let God do what God does and do what the Lord wants us to do. And that is to worship Him. Amen. To worship. To get on our knees, prostrate before God, and to depress ourselves, as it were. Not to get depressed. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. And that's not what it means, but to humble and to bring ourselves before the Lord. But Uzzah didn't have that worship. David didn't have that worship yet. Oh, he danced before the Lord. He played before the Lord. Maybe there were instruments that was being played. And in fact, there were harps and psalteries, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets. And they were praising God. They were praising Him with the psaltery and the harp. They were praising Him with the musical instruments. And yet there was something about it. God was not pleased in a complete way because there was not worship. Amen. Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the ark of God, and God didn't need anybody to steady the ark. He didn't need anybody to help him out, and he's still the same today as he was back then. Somebody said amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we must come to him in the right fashion. In the right way, with the right attitude, and that is the attitude of worship. Amen. And eventually, they got the ark to another house, the house where David brought the ark of the covenant to Obed-Edom. And it stayed there for a while, and they had to reflect, and they had to stop their forward momentum. There's not anything that is said about worship. There's nothing said about praise, but they stopped everything that they were doing. David said, we've got it wrong here, and we've got to stop until we get it right, and then we can move on. We've got to get the ark. We've got to get the presence of God in our midst. Amen. We've got to get a move of God in our country. We've got to get a move of God in our families. And it's not there. God is not pleased. Amen. He has just killed Uzzah for putting his hand upon the Ark of the Covenant. It was not for him to do. It was not in his authority. It was not in the will of God and the call of God for the people of God. Amen. But he was reaching out because he had probably reached out before and thought that somehow or another he was the keeper of this Ark of the Covenant. But he was not the keeper of the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. That was for the priest to do. And that was for the Lord himself to do. Because where the presence of God is, there is safety. Amen. Where the presence of God is, there is not going to be a tipped over ark. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not going to be a tipped over ark. There's not going to be a calamity that catches God by surprise, but he is going to make sure that everything is all right. I believe this morning that everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I do. You know why? Because the Lord is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so it landed here, or it stopped here at the house of Obed-Edom. And we can go through chapter 14 and chapter 15 here of 1 Chronicles. But it's not going to tell you a whole lot about this situation of the ark. But if we go to chapter 16, actually chapter 15 and verse 29 and verse 28, thus Israel, all Israel, brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of cornet, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. And the Bible says in chapter 16 and verse 1, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. I've got a feeling this morning that between chapter 13 and chapter 16, there was some introspection taking place, that there were some people, the ones, David himself, the priest, and the important people and the common people, all of the house of Israel, they found out what worship was all about. And they spent some time in prayer, and they spent some time in humbling themselves and saying, Lord, we want to make sure that we do this right, because our God is not a God who is desperate for any kind of worship. He wants our worship to be right. He wants our heart to be right. Praise God. He wants us to approach him in the right fashion. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, you cannot approach God casually. And we cannot put our hand upon the work of God. For it is not our work, it is the work of God. Amen. And who knows how deep that worship was, but they spent a lot of time on their knees. They spent a lot of time. Actually, worship means to get on your knees and put your hands on the floor or on the ground and put your head down. It is a time of humbling, a time of submission and saying, Lord, you're the master. You've probably seen a dog, and I'm not going to relate us to a dog, but when dogs get together, there's a pecking order, and the strongest one will beat the other one, and he will bow down to the other. That's the same as it is with other animals in God's kingdom, and it is to show respect, and it is to show submission to the higher power. Amen. And what we serve today is not just a higher power. He is God Almighty, and he is able to do anything. Praise God. He is able to do anything. He can do anything this morning. He can fill someone with the Holy Ghost this morning. He really can. Amen. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how I feel this morning. Praise God. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him. We're here for him this morning. Amen. And The presence of God, we need it. We need it desperately. But the presence of God only comes. We cannot enter into the presence of God until we go past the altar of sacrifice first. It's the only way. God ordained it to be that way, that we bring an offering, that we bring a sacrifice. If you notice in chapter 13, they did not offer sacrifices. All they did was praise God and play before the Lord, but there was no sacrifices. There was no offerings. And it led them to that place of casual acquaintance. Oh, I'm telling you, we serve a great God this morning. He deserves our whole life. He deserves everything. And chapter 16, they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. The reason that they needed peace offerings is because there wasn't any peace. Amen. They were afraid of this ark. They were afraid of the power of this ark because it was the very presence of the Lord. And David brought the ark. He brought it to the city of David. He had pitched a tent for it. There was no permanent temple at this point in time. It was still just a tent. And I believe that David pitched a tent just like it was in the old covenant when they came out of Egypt and put that ark back in the place where it was supposed to be. Amen. And they came before the Lord. And David had an attitude here. I don't know if it was before or after. I've got a feeling that it was after. And I read Psalm 29 in verse 2. It says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship." Everybody said worship. "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And so what is holiness? What is holiness? Holiness is really the essence of holiness this morning is when we submit ourselves to God and we do the will of God, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. The beauty of holiness. Everybody said the beauty of holiness. Beauty, it's a beautiful thing. Holiness is a beautiful thing. It is not a set of rules that has been established by the church, even though there are some things that are established by the church and by the ministry. Amen. But what we find in holiness is submission, submission to those that are in rule over you. And that would be God. He is ruler over all of us. Amen. And the ministry needs to be in submission to God. Amen. Because we are going to give an account someday. Amen. When we see things in our world that are beginning to happen, and I'm telling you this morning, good voice or no good voice, we are in a heap of trouble in our world today. There are so many, many triggers that could be pulled, and calamity, great calamity. We are seeing some things that are happening before our very eyes. I could look at it from the standpoint of financial. They say that in 10 years, America will be another $12 trillion in debt, an additional 12. We just passed 22. That's not million or billion. That's trillion. That's 1,000 billions. And a billion is 1,000 millions. So you're talking a lot of money, more than any of us make in a week. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. 30 $4 trillion in debt within the next 10 years. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The very reason that we are in the debt that we are in is not that we are in a financial crisis, but we are in a moral crisis in America. And I could go down the list and we could all get depressed here this morning, but I'm not going to do that. But we are in a lot of problems. Amen. America is sick from the head to the toe. Amen. Yes, there are churches. Thank God for the churches in America. Thank God for the people of God who will stand for the truth of the Word of God. But I'm telling you this morning, we're becoming more and more in the minority as far as numbers are concerned. Evil is rising in our world today, and it is important for us as the ministry, amen, to look at our world today and say what is going to be good for us and what is not going to be good for us. Well, I'll tell you, I think I know what is going to be good for us. It is holiness with worship. Amen. Amen. Holiness with worship, where we get on our knees and we say, oh God, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want to do. Whatever your plan is, amen, I want to do that. If it is a part of how I dress or where I go and what I read and what I listen to, amen, and all the things that we look at in the areas of holiness, amen, we need to approach it not from the standpoint of I have to, but from the standpoint of I need to. It is a necessity. It is a necessity that I follow the words of God. And it's got to be from the Scripture. And if you have a question about our holiness and the standards of holiness that we have set, please come if you've got any questions, because we want to go to the Word of God and we want to look at the Word of God. Are you concerned about the Word of God this morning? Are you really concerned about following the Scriptures? Amen. Or is church just a once-in-a-while situation? Amen. Is worship just a once-in-a-while situation? Well, I'm telling you, we cannot have the presence of God in our midst until we understand what worship is really all about. Worship. Amen. Worship. There has never been a revival in the history of man that was not preceded by repentance, that was not preceded by a humbling of ourselves. And when we humble ourselves and we give ourselves over to the will of God and to the Word of God, that's when things really begin to happen. Amen. I want things to happen in God in our church. Well, praise God, but it is dependent upon worship. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 now, they knew what worship was, and so they brought the Ark of the Lord into the city of David, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, verse 4, and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Amen. And so, chapter 16 and verse 4, if you read all the way down through verse 36, and I know that's a lot of reading this morning, we've got time and I can read it. But David got so excited about praising God that David wrote a song. Amen. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And verse 8 through verse 36 is the song that David wrote. Amen. David appointed certain Levites to minister before the Lord, and then he gave the song to the singers. Praise God. Well, praise God. We've got to give and appoint the Levites the ability to minister. Amen. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for the evangelist that we just had for a few weeks here. Anointed preaching from the Word of God. I don't look at the age of the minister. I don't look at if he's really, really old. In fact, I got to be honest with you, I enjoy the old ones better than I do the younger ones. I really do, because there is a depth that is there from experience. And that does not put down the younger preachers or evangelists, but there is something about the older ministers. Amen. And he gave it to the ministers, and then he delivered a song. And so we have worship, which is repentance, which is a humbling of ourselves. Worship, which is giving our whole life over to God one more time and saying, Lord, I want to make sure I've got the right attitude about this. Amen. Getting to a place where I'm not going to handle the Ark of the Covenant and try to manipulate the Spirit of the Lord. Once we get to worship, then we can get to ministry. Praise God. Once we pass worship, then we can get to ministry. The reason that there are so many today that have their own ideas about the Word of God and their own way of thinking, amen, is because they haven't really understood what worship is all about. Worship is saying, Lord, whatever you want in my life, that's what I want. Praise God. God sets in the church. Somebody help me this morning. God sets in the church those that he will. Amen. Well, praise God. God called me here to this city. I can say that with assurance this morning. I'm here this morning in the will of God. You know what? God called you to this church. Amen. God gave you a revelation. Yes, yes, there was teaching that took place. Amen. There was ministry that took place. But you're here by a divine ordinance of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Young people, get a hold of that this morning. This isn't just another church. Well, praise the Lord. But this is where God called you. This is where God filled you. This is where God anointed you and touched you. Praise God. And so David, after he understood what worship was about, he appointed ministers to minister before the Lord. Amen. To minister before the Lord. To be a minister that was anointed of God. Not just somebody that was going through the motion, amen, not somebody that was just interested in what they could get out of it. And I fear today that the ministry, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I don't want to put down any minister at all, but I am seeing in our generation today, amen, that there are ministers that really don't want to put their hand to the plow, amen, may have a call of God to go and start a church, but are not willing to go and start a church. Years and years ago, that was the theme of the church. Start a work, amen, a daughter work. Go and be a home missionary pastor and preacher. And there were many that were doing it, and there are lots of churches today that are established because somebody came and did the dirt work, if you please, and laid a foundation for somebody else to come and build upon. But we're not looking at that today. We're not looking at soul winners anymore. Amen. But we're looking at maintenance men that just want to maintain the status quo. I'm telling you what, we cannot maintain the status quo. Praise God. We've got to move forward. Praise God. And the only way to move forward is to have anointed ministry. Thank God for anointed ministry. Amen. And holiness and worship go together. And then ministry steps into the scene. And worship is something that Job did. The Bible says when he lost everything, it says Job worshiped God. In other words, Job got down on his hands and his knees, and he said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I'm going to return thither. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's humility right there. That is true worship, and the Bible calls it worship, what Job did there. Amen. It's a time of humbling and commitment. Praise God. And it is a time where sinners, those that were not doing right, come under conviction. Oh God, it's hard to find anyone today that will come under conviction and say, "I'm a sinner, I need God." But if there's not entertainment at the church and there's not something to keep them excited in the church, they're just not going to come anymore. Amen. Not going to stand when everybody else leaves. Jesus said, "Are you going to leave also?" And they said, "Lord, to whom, where can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life." Amen. I speak this morning as a pastor. Amen. I cannot do without Jesus in my life. I can't make it a day without Him. Praise God. Well, praise God. And I've learned over the years that His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. That through humility and worship, true biblical worship, amen, I can be soft and tender before God. And I can hear Him say, "This is what I want you to do." Amen. And sometimes what He wants us to do is not what we want to do. Somebody said amen. But if we do it, and we do it in humility, God will bless it. Praise the Lord. Thank God for holiness this morning. Thank God for the beauty of holiness. Thank God for the opportunity to worship the Lord in holiness. Amen. You know what is the sign of a woman's submission to her husband? It is her long uncut hair. Well, praise God. It's just us here this morning. Is it all right if I just talk about this? It is her long uncut hair. Amen. And it's not convenient. I don't know about that because I'm not a woman. Amen. And it's not convenient. I'm looking at a pot of gold here on the second row. And I've seen her with her hair down. It's not always convenient to have long hair. Amen. It's not easy to clean and to put up and to tend to and all of that. But the Bible talks about it, and the Bible brings it out. It talks about a woman being submissive to her husband and to the Lord, if she's not married, to the Lord with her uncut hair. And we're living in a day when the guys want to have long hair and the girls want to shave off their hair. Amen. And so there may be somebody here this morning that wants to have long hair and you don't like your short hair and you'd rather have long hair. We're seeing it in Christian circles where men have long hair. And the Bible says that if he prays to God having long hair, that it is a shame unto him. That's what it says. Amen. And it talks about submission to Christ. It is the husband's responsibility to be in submission unto Christ. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you are head honcho and heap big chief. Amen. What that means is that you lead your home with humility. Amen. That you lead your home in a spirit of worship unto God. Amen. I don't have long hair because the Lord is not pleased with it. Scripture says, does not nature even teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Don't look at me like I've never preached this before. Amen. But it is the will of God. Holiness is so very, very important. Amen. What we read and what we look at is very important. Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And that's what we need, is the light of God in us. And you may want to look at things that you're not supposed to look at. I'm going to preach a little bit about that tonight. And y'all come. Amen. And we'll look at it a little bit. But it's very important what we look at. The light of the body is the eye. And if your eye is single, I want to have a single eye. I don't want to get sidetracked by other things that I look at. Amen. But what I want to do is humble myself. And so there are some things that we just can't look at. You might want to look at them. There might be a temptation to look at certain things. But we don't do that because of worship. Amen. Because we are down on our knees and our hands and we're saying, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's holiness. Holiness is true worship. Holiness is not what you do, but it's how you do what you do. It's why you do what you do. It's not making up rules and regulations. It's obedience to the commandments that are already written in the Scriptures. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I don't have a television in my home. Well, I wish somebody would get with me here this morning. Praise God. Maybe I'm just preaching to the choir here this morning. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to watch my television on my phone either. Now, I got to admit, I go to YouTube once in a while. And I go to Facebook once in a while, once in a long while. And I go to certain things, but I'm telling you what, we need to be very careful about this new modern technology that we have. We need to be very careful with this new technology. Amen. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Praise God. See, I'm getting you ready for tonight. But worship. Everybody said worship. Worship will bring the Ark of the Covenant back to where it's supposed to be. And so 2 Samuel chapter 6 gives us a mirror of the story of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And if you can put the two together, here you have the priests, and they are ministering before the Lord. And here you have the singing and the praising. It's here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. There's where we need to be right there. And that's where we will be right there, where the Lord blesses the house of Obed-Edom. Amen. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Praise God. oh, well, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm telling you what, this morning, when God is in our midst, it's easy to dance before the Lord. Now, some of us have bad knees and some of us have bad backs, but I'm telling you what, whatever you can do, you need to do because of worship, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and then praising God with all of our heart. Amen. He praised the Lord with all of his might because he loved him with all of his might. He loved him with all of his strength. He loved God with everything that was within him, and he danced before the Lord. Six paces. Amen. Gavin, stand up and face that direction and go six steps. No. Full stride. One, two. That's a big stride. He's trying to get all the way across on one deal. All right, you can be seated. Now, you can just imagine, here they are, and they're bringing the ark of God back to where it's supposed to be, from here to here, the distance. I don't know how many miles it was. I don't know how far it was, but it wasn't around the block. Amen. And they got that far, and they said, hold it, we've got to stop, and we've got to get this right. We're going to offer a sacrifice. We're going to worship again. And then when we're done worshiping, we're going to start praising. Amen. I got a feeling this morning that there's some praise in our hearts for God. Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. David danced before the Lord. Have you ever danced before the Lord? Oh, well, I'm not that type of person. Well, if the Lord showed up here and stood right here in the midst of us this morning, and he healed every disease and every sickness that was in this sanctuary this morning, do you really think that you would be... sitting like you're sitting right now? I don't think so. No, and I'm not being critical this morning. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being critical. But there comes a time when we just get beside ourselves. We don't wake up in the morning and say, well, should we go or not go? Should I change the oil or stay home? Change the oil in the car or stay home? I've got to mow the grass. I've got to mow the grass. Amen. I'm looking at somebody. I've got to mow the grass. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I'm not going to go there this morning. But don't mow grass, Hunter, on Sunday. Not during service anyway. Maybe between services is all right. But not during service. Praise God. Well, I've got to cook lunch, so I'm not going to make it to the house of God. No. You got to understand something. This is his church. This is his house. Praise God. This is the place where he resides and where he wants to speak to his people. Amen. Has anybody been spoken to in the last few services of revival? Not everybody. But how many's ever been spoken to by the Lord when you came to the house of God? Look at that, everybody. That's because the Lord is here. And so they offered sacrifices, and then when they offered sacrifices, then they worshiped, and they praised, and they shouted, amen. They brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet, amen. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. She should have been out there worshiping with him. But she was in her position, and so she didn't have to do that. And she saw the king David Now, I can't imagine what it looked like, but David was a warrior. He wasn't an old sickly man. Amen. He wasn't trying his best. David could leap. He could leap over a wall and run through a troop. Amen. He could fight. I mean, he was like a combine. Amen. He was just cutting things down and they were falling behind him. Nobody could keep up with David in a fight. David leaped and danced before the Lord. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see him leap. I wonder how tall he could go or how high he could go. Amen. I've seen some basketball players, they can jump pretty high. Little short guys can jump up high enough to dunk the basketball. And I look at that and think, my, my, he's got part grasshopper or part frog in him. I don't know, but boy, they can jump. And they can jump high and accurately. And David wasn't just kind of, you know, going like this like I do. Amen. I'll throw my back out if I leap. Amen. And I might hurt myself if I leap, but inside I'm leaping. Praise God. I remember one time, well, I won't even go through that, but I remember one young black man, John Harrison, came to the church and received the Holy Ghost. God bless that young man. As far as I know, he's still in this way. And when the Spirit of the Lord would get to moving, John, he wouldn't run the aisles, he would dance the aisles. It was really something to see. And he had this ability. He could dance. I mean, his legs were just going 90 miles an hour while he was dancing, and his head wasn't moving at all. All you saw was this head just flat. I mean, just smooth moving along here all the way around to the other side, and his legs and feet are just going 90 miles an hour. It was really quite the thing to see, and it was inspirational to see somebody really give theirself over to praise and to worship. Amen. And we can do that when we establish worship in our lives first of all. Amen. And Paul spoke of this as well in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul said, "For we are the circumcision which worship," everybody said worship, "which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Praise God. We cannot praise God and really be apostolic when we are in the flesh. And that doesn't mean dancing in the Holy Ghost. What I'm talking about is we cannot come to church and put on the praise and clap our hands at the right time. Come on, somebody help me this morning. We cannot be coached into praise and thanksgiving unto God. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from the heart. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Turn with me. I'm going to finish here in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God on Sunday morning." Is that what it says? Continually. "That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." The fruit of our lips. Praise God. What have you been talking about outside the church? And then when you come into the church, what do you talk about? Amen. The fruit of our lips. Praise God. What we need to do is get to the place of worship and humility before God where we can praise God continually. That's not just Sunday morning. That's not just Sunday night. That's not just in revival services. Amen. But it is continually. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. When I'm going down the road, I need to be praising God. When I'm driving my car, I need to praise God. When I'm at school, I need to stop every six paces. Amen. Now, that's a good one right there. If you're in ACE, you have to do your paces. Every six paces, stop and praise God. You don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. We need to praise the Lord. Acts 2, verse 46, here's the apostolic way. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's the singleness of heart. There's the worship right there. That's the submission right there. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. They praised God. They praised God. That's the apostolic way. Let's stand together this morning. Acts chapter 3, I want to read this, and then we're going to finish here this morning. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up. We just read something about somebody leaping and dancing and praising God. He was leaping. Amen. He was excited. Why was he excited? Because something took place in his life that was wonderful. I've got the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Holy Ghost this morning? Anybody have the Holy Ghost? I have the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm thankful this morning for the blessings of God. Amen. He leaping up stood. Amen. Brother Tucker, if the Lord healed your knees this morning, would you run these aisles? Praise God. God can do that. God can do that. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. This is the apostolic way. Praise God. It's the apostolic way. We cannot be apostolic unless we have worship, and we cannot be apostolic until we have praise. I want to praise him this morning, but maybe what you need to do is worship him first and come to a place on your knees and on your hands. And maybe you've already done that, and you come to the house of God this morning ready to praise God, ready to give God thanks for all that he's done. Amen. And that's wonderful. But we've got to be apostolic in worship, apostolic in praise. Let's pray right now. Come on, somebody, lift your voice with me this morning. Come on, lift your voice, everybody. Whatever you need to do, just do it this morning. Get it right. And praise God from all of the depths of your heart this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to bring an offering. And my offering is a part of my worship, submission, humility. But I'm going to praise you as well and give you thanks for the offering that I've brought to you. Praise God, praise God, praise God.